Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
The issue of media and access to media has come to light in the news this past week. The Chinese government is asking Alibaba Group to dispose of its media assets. Now, that would include WeChat, South China Morning Post, and others. Discussions have been held since early this year after Chinese regulators reviewed a list of the assets owned by Alibaba and determined that maybe they were just too pervasive across Chinese society. Of course, Alibaba, founded by billionaire Jack Ma. Let's get more information and insight on this right now. Alan Soon is joining us, the co-founder of Splice Media here in Singapore, longtime journalist. Beijing is asking Alibaba to divest itself of its media assets. Alan, what do we know about this story?
What was interesting about this was that this was a story that broke last week on Wednesday. Wall Street Journal broke it first, and then Bloomberg followed up on it. So this was interesting because it's something that people have been talking a little bit about you know, how China wants to force the breakup of Alibaba and what that would look like. I think what was surprising for a lot of people, including me, was that this was going to be around the media assets component of it, which was not something that we had imagined would happen. So Wall Street Journal broke the story first, followed by Bloomberg. Bloomberg, in fact, said that these conversations have around the sale of the SMP specifically has been ongoing and has been going since last year. It didn't say exactly which part of last year, but it shows you just how important this is for China. What's also interesting about Alibaba is that when we're talking about its media assets, it's not just the SCMP. We're talking about a whole bunch of companies that many of us have heard of, but also not, because a lot of these are in China. But I guess one of the biggest one is, of course, Weibo, which is a Twitter-like kind of service. Yep. You also have Bilibili, which is a video service. You also see that Alibaba has stakes in China Business Network, which is part of the Shanghai Media Group. When it comes to the film studio side of things, it's also got huge stakes in, like, Huayi Brothers Media, Bona Film Group, Wanda Pictures, which you may have seen in a number of big A titles out there for movies. Mm, yeah. So it's not a small thing to ask a company like that to walk away from its media assets.
And I reached out to the South China Morning Post for comment on this last night, and they sent a comment back from Alibaba in general. It says Alibaba, quoting here from their corporate spokesperson, Alibaba continues to support SCMP's mission and business goals, and there is no plan for an ownership change. SCMP remains committed to serving our global readers with independent journalism and in-depth analysis, as we have for over 117 years. So that was from Alibaba, attributed to a spokesperson from SCMP and Alibaba. So I just wanted to get that in there from their perspective. I guess what right does the Beijing government have to tell any of these media companies they have to get rid of assets like this? Is that an absolute right from what we understand, or would there be room for negotiation in this?
I think what's interesting here is that we haven't quite seen the legal language coming out. It's not clear what the legal basis will be for this, but you can definitely, you know, be certain that a country like China will find a way to find a legal approach to this. Yeah. You've seen the way in which they handle Ant Financial, and you know, when it comes to putting pressure on organizations, China definitely has a way of doing that.
If they are to divest of any of these media holdings, Alan, as you look around the region, both the mainland and throughout ASEAN and Southeast Asia, what impact do you think this might have? I know we're in the very speculative category here of commenting, but if Alibaba and others are forced to divest various assets, what kind of impact does it have on our media landscape?
Well, I think there are two parts here. Maybe three parts. If you were to look at Alibaba's assets, we basically have the SCMP, which is a story newspaper.
South China Morning Post.
We also have the tech companies, mm-hmm, like Weibo. We also have the film studios, right? That they deal with. So there are different components to this. I would say the biggest impact would be around the SCMP, just because of what happened since Alibaba bought them in 2016, in which they've taken them on this road of great media transformation, digital transformation, building out new products and reaching new audiences. But most importantly, telling the China story in a more succinct way. I think before the SEMP came on board, it was very hard for a mass consumer to find information about what was going on in China and to stay on top of that. The SEMP has allowed that to happen, and they've done it really well. I think the loss of the SEMP on that side of things would be very tragic, because, you know, by the sounds of it, this would be sold to a Chinese investor, which then obviously has a bigger desire to see stories being told in a very specific way, as you can imagine.
Is this, from your perspective, is this just a kind of a shot across the bow to Alibaba saying, we don't like the way you've been covering news on the mainland, therefore we are going to cut you off from doing that? From my perspective as a complete outsider, that's what it smells like to me, but I don't know. What do you think?
I think it feels more like this is China basically saying, look, we realize that you have very strong assets here. Mm-hmm. When it comes to media assets equals, you know, your ability to influence.
Right.
And I think that's what the biggest concern is here.
Yeah.
I think when Ant Financial was headed for an IPO, the amount of attention that the media base was able to create around that was spectacular. And I think that scared the Chinese authorities to a great degree. And that was when they really started worrying, you know, what would it look like if we were not able to control the media space through an organization as big and as powerful as Alibaba.
Jack Ma, the founder, had gone missing, in quotes, had disappeared from the world stage for a time earlier this year, end of last year. Is this in all related, do we know or do we think, related to his not being around for a while and being incommunicado?
Yeah, I think a lot of this stuff is very speculative, right? I think it's easy to assume that under pressure from the Chinese government, he had gone into hiding or put his head down or just kind of stayed low, which sounds like the right thing to do. And I think, you know, I think there's a lot going on in the Alibaba space that is just not clear to any of us.
Yeah, yeah. Let's look more broadly across the region. You know, we've got challenges happening in Myanmar right now with media there and the military junta clamping down on them. The state, how would you categorize the state of press freedom, media freedom across our region at the moment? What's that look like?
It's always hard to give a report card grade to an industry like this, because at any one point, you know, you can stretch this as far back as you want, but we've always had issues in media. We've always had media regulation. We've always had government clampdowns. These things are not new in that sense. I think we're all in a very, very interesting phase, very difficult phase, because of the amount of information that people consume that come off the big tech platforms like Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, you know. So I think those things, I think that's where the difference is now. The intermediaries are different from where they were 10 years ago.
Yeah. We're talking with Alan Soon, the co-founder of Splice Media. Alan, many of the countries in the region have a colonial background, of course. And even after their colonial background finished, there the colonists left. In this case, usually it's been England, right? Mostly. Then there was an era where some of the countries in the region had very much strong men running the country in a more sort of closely held fashion. Often the media companies have come out of that background. Is that part of why we have this mixed relationship with the media in this part of the world?
Yeah, I think, you know, the Asia media landscape is very unique in that sense, right? You've got countries like Singapore, where media is regulated in a very different way. You have the Philippines, where, you know, you've had strong media companies come out of the Marcos era as challenges to authority. We've seen the same thing in South Korea and in Taiwan, right? Where people, where media companies are seen to be institutions of democracy. I think every country has a very different kind of look to this, just because, you know, of the kind of oppression or military governments that they've had, or, you know, strong arm politics that they've had. It's really quite interesting to see how all this plays out. You know, I think Myanmar is a really tough one, just because it's not about the media per se. It's about a constitution that was done, you know, 10 years ago that didn't quite fit everyone's taste.
Yeah, very interesting. Alan, what should we be looking out for in coming days and weeks on the media scene across the region? Are there any topics, issues? You know, digital transformation, of course, has always been on everybody's lips for, what, 5, 7, 10 years now. What should we be looking for across topics when it comes to media?
I think, you know, what we're seeing is a continued shift toward creators. So if you look at some of the announcements that have been coming out over just, you know, we're in March, right? And in the last 3 months alone, we've seen a huge explosion in this space around, you look at what's going on in Clubhouse, for example, and how that's made it so easy for anyone to get started, to build a conversation, to create a community. That trend is one of many trends going on in the media space. I would say a lot of the creator trends have kind of picked up over the last 2 years. So if you were to imagine where all this is going, right? Facebook is now talking about the possibility of them creating a platform that allows people to create newsletters, which is not all that new in that sense of it. We've seen this with Substack, and we know that this is part of a trend that's going to continue, right? Any one of us can create and publish online and find ways to reach an audience and to find ways to monetize that audience. And I think that is going to be a continuation.
Yeah. Alan, thanks so much for being with us today. As always, great insight from you. Alan Soon, co-founder of Splice Media. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thanks.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.